Scripture reading this morning will be from Galatians. Starting in verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith.
At that time of year where we'll have a lot traveling, a lot visiting. We're certainly thankful for your presence. We hope you have a copy of the outline. And I'm thankful for us having the opportunity to study this morning just a basic lesson on our attitudes and how we view ourselves and what we're doing. I've titled my lesson Withdrawing from Good. And I think this is a good time, particularly where the students are out and we got, like I say, a lot of people traveling, to maybe talk to our core group, our resident group, and talk about how you view yourself and what you're accomplishing. And it's a time of year, I guess, where particularly we get to the new year where people like to have New Year resolutions. This is a good time to look back and just review our relationship with God, how we view that, how we view ourselves as a Christian. One thing I can say about our God, He wants our hearts and our minds. And one thing I can say about men, we often don't see ourselves. We can get into the routine of playing religion and playing church. We can get into the comfortable, familiar things. And we don't want to be challenged. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you and I are Christians, there are some daily things that have to take place. And these things are profitable, but I want to tell you something. They require energy. They require effort. They require focus. Notice, hey, Lord Jesus, tell us what it takes to be a disciple. Okay, here's His answer. Luke 9:23. Then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. The very battle of worldliness is where we begin to, we have the name Christianity. We have a worldly religion, and buddy, there's no testing. There's no denying. There's no service. When you take up the cross, you lose control. And I have found some of the most sensitive areas to preach to my brethren are going to be in areas of how they spend their life, how they use their home, how they use their money, who they associate with. We'll talk about those things this morning. It's interesting, as one of the servant songs in the book of Isaiah, we're more familiar with Isaiah 53. But Isaiah 50 is one of the servant songs speaking of Jesus. And in beginning, in the latter part of verse 4, we read about how the Lord was willing to hear. It says, He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. Are you a Christian? You got to be willing to hear daily. Lord, what do You want me to do? How should I spend my time this day? How should I take the things You've given me in my life? How can I glorify You? Are you willing to hear? You heard the humorous illustration about the man who fell off the cliff and he was about to die. He was hanging from a bush and he cried out, "Is anybody up there?" And a voice came back and said, "Yes." And he says, "Is that You, God?" He says, "Yes, it's Me." "What do You want me to do?" "Let go." Moment of silence, and the guy says, "Is there anybody else up there?" And sometimes we talk about hearing. We're talking about really hearing. Not hearing what we want to hear, but really hearing. That is a difficult thing. I recommend you look at the bulletin article this morning along those lines. When you start hearing the Lord, He will lead you in His work, and He'll lead you down paths that you don't expect. And let me say one more time, because this is going to be the sensitive thing this morning. He will lead you to work with people. I'm afraid some of my friends, they've had time, they think, well, He's going to lead me to work in the library. Or he's going to lead me to go over here in some isolated place and make judgments about people, never interact with them. I just don't think the Lord will lead you in those places. He'll use you in the library, and he could use you in making judgments, but I want to tell you, you look at the work of the Lord, he's going to bring you into contact with people. And you talk about Peter's repentance. Remember how he had denied the Lord? And what did the Lord tell him three times? Here, Peter's now going to get his life right. He's going to serve the Lord. Okay, Peter, what are you to do? Here we read at the very last part of verse 15. We'll just go ahead and read the whole verse. Verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus came to Simon Peter. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to them, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He said to them a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So he said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17. He said to them the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, Jesus is trying to get a message through a hard head. That's us, too. Peter had a role as an apostle. He later was an elder. Now, I recognize he was a shepherd. But please notice the point. The Lord is going to direct you to get involved with people. And some of you, that's going to be very difficult. Others, that may be very easy. And there's going to be various talents he's given you. And I'm not saying there's not a lot of things you may do apart from people. You're going to use all your talent. But people are going to be involved. We asked this morning, how do we know this church is of the Lord? If you had walked up to the Lord and said, well, there's a church here in Auburn, Alabama, and I want to know, really, if they're following you, what would be the test? Remember how the Lord sent Peter to people? Listen how the Lord analyzed. He'll analyze you and me like this way. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this, I will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. I'll admit to you privately and publicly, that's hard. We as people can be immensely disappointing. We as people can be terribly unpredictable. We as people can be fickle, and there's somebody that I could praise on one hand and not knowing, and sometimes maybe knowing, I might stab somebody in the back. I don't like people, somebody may say. Well, do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, then he's going to put you into that arena. And I want to warn you, Christian, probably this time of the year, if somebody's going to tend toward depression, toward the blues, toward maybe thinking about pulling back, this will be the time of the year. And I want to warn you and encourage you, if you see in your life a pulling back, I want you to think about that. Think about what the Lord wants you to do. Don't pull back from the greatest work on earth. There's some verses we've read about, and the Bible recognizes it's easy to get worried. It's easy to get weary. It's easy to get frustrated. Galatians 6:9, the Bible tells us, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You know, I've seen people get discouraged in doing good. I remember a brother once that he was trying to use his home to encourage people, and he wanted to have get-togethers to encourage people. And this could be true in a group like this as well. If you have a get-together, guess what? You can't invite everybody. And some people can be left out, and you got to kind of, sometimes you worry about that. Here, I want to do good, and I can do good, and I get somebody mad. I don't want to get somebody mad, and I've seen people, they do good, and then they get criticized for it. What do you do? Don't stop doing good, okay? Don't stop doing good. People are unpredictable, and you can offend them with not wanting to offend them. Don't pull back. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And so, you know, there are times, brethren, I'm not, let me understand when I tell you don't withdraw, I'm not telling you there's not the time to take some rest. There's a time where you get kind of your hair sticking out and say, I'm going to take a little time away from things for a while so I can get myself back together. That's okay. Jesus at times urged his disciples to withdraw and take a moment of rest. But you see, you've got to watch your heart. If you have already got to the point, buddy, nobody's invited to your house. I go to no one else's house. Here I am, and I can tell you all the weaknesses of this group, and I am here, and I'm tolerating them. You're not in a good place spiritually. The Bible tells us that here, you know, we see people that don't treat us right, and they've done us wrong, and they've been hostile to us. Sometimes we think, well, I should quit. Jesus didn't quit. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. The reason why I don't become discouraged is because my Lord went to the cross because he saw the good he could do for me. He didn't withdraw from good because they lied about him and spat upon him, and they hurt his family, and they hurt his mother, and they hurt his disciples. Because they should have been the very greatest people in the kingdom, the chief priests and so on should have been the most spiritual people. They weren't. But he didn't quit doing good. And if he had, we'd been lost. We're following him. We're not going to pull back because of men. And you see, that's one thing. I'll tell you what I do sometimes when I'm ready to be judge, jury, and executioner upon my brethren, and we are tempted to do that often, is I think of Jesus. He didn't quit. He didn't quit not only because of what others did to him, but because of what I did to him. I view myself, frankly, as I think about if I had been there in the days of Jesus, I would have been amongst those that would have cried, crucified him. I would have been one of those fickle people, oh, yes, oh, here, Hosanna, King, and then turn around and crucify him. He would not cease from going to the cross and doing good for me. The Bible tells us that when we're still yet enemies. Christian, not going to pull back from helping others. So again, brethren, if people hurt you, don't say, I'm going to pull back. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're tempted to do it. It's a natural, understandable thing. But what starts happening when we start pulling back, guess who gets hurt the most? You know the answer to this. When you do good, who benefits the most? When you help others, who benefits the most? We do. When we start pulling back, guess what happens? We start getting filled with poison. Was it the Dead Sea in Bible lands? It doesn't send out. It's become such a high salt content in it, there's no life can live in it. You will find yourself to be most miserable when you are withdrawn. When you're not giving, when you're looking on others and seeing their faults and you're remembering all your hurts, it makes no sense. Now, sometimes people say, well, Larry, I need to withdraw because of the family. And we can understand where you have a new child or maybe a couple of twins or maybe children and various issues that come up in the home. And that, yes, sirree. Family requires a commitment. The Bible tells you in Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And it's not just preachers sometimes that can go and get involved in their work and neglect their family. We can do the same thing. All of us can. And by the way, I recommend in the article this morning, in the bulletin, the second article about withdrawn fathers. I'd like to recommend to those of you who have children. Now, it's important that as you talk about your family, there's some things you can't do that you used to do. And there's some events you can't be at. I can remember with kids, we joke with some of the families with kids that, you know, kids, when you go to a restaurant, they've got alarm clocks. You know how that goes. You can visit for a certain amount of time, and then the alarm clock goes off, and they're going wild and crazy. And And as a rule, it's time to go ahead and end that visit and go on home and get them their nap and other things they have. I still remember those days. And so, yes, there's families that give a responsibility, but listen to me, don't let your family needs be an excuse for you to pull back from things you can do. The same consequence will come if you start pulling back, because let me tell you who ends up suffering. Your children do. When your children don't see you associating with other Christians and getting involved with other Christians, opening your homes and being with Christians, being involved in things, when they see you distant and sullen, it will affect them. We studied this last week, Matthew 5, in verse 46. Or if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now I'm going to tell you something. You're saying, well, there you associate with brethren. And this is, but yeah, we ought to at least do that. But let me tell you this. We sometimes only associate with the brethren we feel like associating with. With those that we click it off with, and those that are a little odd, a little different, so on, we kind of push those off. That's not being a Christian. And so you can be very selfish. You can be selfish in worrying about whether or not your image is damaged, but rather than what your child is doing. There's a lot of ways a person can get their thinking wrong in regards to family. Our society is pushing us to withdraw. I'm eventually going to get the book. It came out several years ago. It was a sociologist did a study on our generation. And they titled Our Generation the Loneliest Generation That Has Ever Lived in This Country. People have fewer friendships. They do fewer things with people. We're seeing things through the internet. You know, I remember talking with a lady when I was up in Charlottesville that had gone through a difficult divorce. And we were trying to encourage her to visit services. And she said she worshiped on the internet. And sadly, there's a lot of things that people do on the internet that destroy relationships, some sinful, and some they just use a substitute for seeing people and being with people. I'm not saying you can't use the internet, but I'm saying we need one another. We live in a fast food society. We want things quick. We want things done quick. We want our relationships fast and simple and easy and painless. And when we want to push people away. You cannot do the work of God and go down that path, and you're going to be miserable and you're going to be dry and empty in the end if you go down that path. And so again, we got to be careful. You know, I think a lot about the congregation here. One of the most interesting congregations I've ever been a part of. We have visitors all the time. We have people from various backgrounds. We have people from various educational backgrounds, but we tend to, like a lot of congregations, sometimes almost to segregate ourselves. And maybe it's not conscience, but you know, you can end up segregating yourselves by only being with people and associating with people that have your common interest. It's kind of interesting. I joke sometimes with folks here is that this congregation is so young that sometimes we might be doing things to push out the elderly or the old folks, you know. We may have so many students that we might discourage people from another group. And I'm not saying that what I'm saying is that we try to include everybody. We've got to be thinking that way, whether it be race, whether it be money, whether it be one single or married or so on. We've got to be thinking in those terms of wanting to help people. You could come to an assembly like this and be lonely. We could have the building packed. And we have people here that are lonely, that don't belong, that don't connect. And that's one of my frustrations, honestly, because of the number of visitors we have. I worry sometimes we got people falling through the cracks. And there's more that we could do. And we need to be, all of us, thinking about reaching out to those that and make connections with them. Let's talk about building a biblical faith. Are you a Christian? Some people say, well, you know, if I build a biblical faith, then I'll know the plan of salvation. You all know the plan of salvation, and you ought to be able to distinguish error on that. Somebody says, if I have a biblical faith, I'll be able to tell you about the organization of the work and the work of the church, the organization of the church and the work of the church, and you should know those things. Yes, you ought to know those things. But in building a biblical faith, we not only look at the external things we do. As I suggested before, the Lord has a priority on people. In 1 Peter 1:22, notice, why were you converted? What are you to do after you're converted? The Bible says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, Love one another fervently with a pure heart. People who've been bought by the blood of Christ, if the blood of Christ means something to you, the Lord means everything to you, and those that are purchased with the blood of Christ mean everything to you. Oh, this is hard. It's easy to love the Lord. It's harder to love His people. But because I see the unseen that I won't do work of God. Let's talk about here today. Why are you here today? I hope you're here because you want to be renewed and challenged and love God, be drawn closer to God. That's good. That's the primary reason why you ought to be here. But there's another reason why we're here. We're also thinking of others. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. In other words, don't quit. Don't pull back. Well, how can you keep from pulling back? For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good work. We need help. I need help in my working with you and you working with me and you working with each other. Sometimes I don't always know how to encourage you. And you may not know how to encourage me. Good Christians want to come to be a part of a local work, and we want to reach out and help. Let's work to make that so. Let's make this assembly a place where we're thinking about each other. After the assembly, let's make sure we don't just get caught up in cliques and we let others go. Let's try to reach out and help. I hope we think about others in this way when we come to the services. The reason why I do that, you may say, well, you know, involving myself with somebody else is uncomfortable. It's difficult. I've got other things to do. I've got other priorities in my life, and I'm busy, busy, busy. Let me tell you why you do that, because of the grace of God. The Bible says in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. Let me tell you about the grace of God. Have you been forgiven? Do you understand the blood of Christ that was shed for you? Are you motivated by that? Notice what happens, verse 14. When we do that and we purify ourselves and we get away from those things that are sinful, and then we also get ourselves involved with zealousness for good works. The Bible says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. People. Effort. I remember years ago, I preached a lesson called The Use of Homes in the Early Church. This would have been around 1985, 86. I was at Flint Hill. And there was an older Christian who came up to me. I appreciate your zeal, but you're going to be disappointed. And I finally came to realize, wow, you know, when we start talking about our personal time in our homes or taking time outside of service with others, I tell you what, you're dealing with a sensitive area. We read Galatians 6:10 this morning. The Bible says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. A biblical faith will lead us to do that. Now, how can we improve in this area? Let me tell you a couple of ways. First off, we've got to see it done. But when Paul talked about things they ought to do, many times he said, like he said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. In Acts chapter 20, he reminded them of how he lived amongst them. He says, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you. I appreciate the efforts several have made in this congregation to open up their homes. And I'm not just talking about the homes. I'm talking about whatever God has given you. Whether you take somebody to a restaurant or you meet somebody in some other occasion, you find ways to reach out. And I appreciate the efforts being made. Let's make more of those efforts. Make more of those efforts and give those examples. Whether it's somebody's inviting you into their house or whether you're opening your house to others. Now, I remember I've been in some places where the person, they had a house that was so small, they felt like it was insignificant, and they did not feel comfortable opening their home. I'm not demanding to be in your house, okay? And you make judgments along those lines. But what I'm telling you is open up your life. Find ways to help others, to get to know others. Are you have an ear that's willing to listen and try these things? You know, as we think about this, the Bible tells us that, you know, let's look back at our life. Let's take the last year. In my life, have I become closer to my brethren? Have I been more involved with people? Or am I going backwards? Look at your life. Look at the things that have come into your life. Now, I realize that if you had one of your family members go through critical care and you had to spend all your time at the hospital and there are things that came up, I can understand where you might look, well, yeah, my life radically changed and there were some things that happened. Maybe the birth of a child, maybe some other things. So I'm not saying because you have pulled back necessarily you've done wrong. Bible tells us these things, like Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Look at verse 14. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Take these verses, look in the old mirror, and ask some questions about yourself. Now, let's go ahead and let's go to the next section and bring the lesson to a close pretty quickly here. I want to talk about some things that cause people to withdraw from good things. I've seen some things that it's taken me some time and maybe through my own slowness to see. But sometimes there are people who view themselves as being very spiritual that aren't really loving of others. Now, I want to make it clear. As you draw closer to the Lord, there are going to be a lot more things that you see. Your discernment is higher. And there are things that you don't do because you have discerned, and I am not critical of that. But what I'm critical of is that when people come to discernment, that they not only do that, but they begin to let that be a source of pride. And this is oftentimes seen when they look down on others. Let me talk about the Pharisees. The Pharisees were one who sometimes they saw sin, but they almost never saw sin in themselves. And there were occasions when they saw sin in another. Notice how they responded. Luke 7:39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is and who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Jesus, you should have withdrawn from this person. You shouldn't have been around them. They're sinful. And let me tell you something. They were probably right. She was sinful. But she was reaching out. He was reaching out to her. He was going to try to help them. Some people have their view of spirituality by how many rules they have, and they compare them to others, and they withdraw. I'm not talking about practicing sin. I'm not going against your conscience, but I'm talking about a mentality that is not love. Luke 18:9. And he also spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now I want to tell you something. As an evangelist, as a Christian, it is tempting to go down this path. There have been times, I think I've been with other preachers sometimes, and we'll talk about problems, we'll talk about public controversy, and it is very easy to drift from a point where we're truly looking at what is right and wrong to the point, well, I'm not like those people, and give them some kind of name. I am tempted by this as well. You see, I've seen people who, well, Luke 18:9, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Luke 19:7, but when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. A lot of people I've known in the church, they throw people away. I believe you're doing something wrong, and I don't believe you have a strong spirituality. It may grieve me. I don't throw you away. Because I'll tell you something. There was a time I was there and even weaker. I remember when I first became a Christian. I remember before I became a Christian, it took people who loved me and saw something in me that a lot of people didn't see, and they gave me enough encouragement where I can move ahead. That's what I'm talking about. I have seen men that I once knew that had good knowledge and they got poisoned. They got poisoned because they got around this type of mentality. And 1 Corinthians 15 is talking about people who turned their back on belief in the resurrection because of their associations. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. You can associate with somebody who appears to be spiritual and who has a lot of rules, but when you get down to their association, they will turn you against brethren. And you look down on them. You don't want to be around them. And you feel terrible and you withdraw. And normally division comes sometimes from this mentality. And people go and meet in their home. There's a brother not too long ago. He had some view that he just could just pounded brethren with it. And eventually he just withdrew from that church and started meeting in his home. He started associating with another brother that I knew in another place. And it's not very long till that brother starts meeting in his home. And I know these people, and I know what they were teaching, and it wasn't just a matter of doctrine. There was an attitude here. Going back with people. Watch your heart. Watch your attitude. You need to know your tendencies. Some people are shy. Some people deal with depression. You know, you can have a moment of depression. Remember Elijah, after facing the prophets of Baal and then was threatened by Jezebel? In 1 Kings 19:9, it says, and there he went into a cave. He ran into the wilderness. He withdrew to a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah was saying, you know, I'm the only one left. He says, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. It's over. I can't see any good. Nobody cares anymore. Ungodly have their way. It's time to withdraw into a hole and write everybody else off. Be careful. I like what the Lord said. What are you doing, Elijah? Think a little bit. He let Elijah get a little rest, get a little food, and he put him back to work. Got him back there working with people and told him, you're not the only one left. King David went through this before he became king, or at least before he had the kingdom. Let's put it that way. Psalms 142:4, he says, look on my right hand and see, for there's no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. You know where he is when he says that? He was in a cave. He was by himself. You can almost hear the drip, drip, drip of the water behind them. You know, he was having a pity party. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. As the old children's song goes, I'm going to go out and eat worms. You know, you just feel terrible when you get caught in that situation, and then you withdraw. You can withdraw quickly. You can withdraw slowly. But I warn you, if you're walking down a path where you're constantly writing off your brethren, and the thing that causes you to react the strongest in your life is when you see the weakness of your brethren, something is deeply wrong spiritually. You need to be rejoicing in the Lord. You need to be reaching out. And you need to understand you're not going to encourage somebody to practice a sin. But there's a difference between that and just pulling back in and becoming just ugly inside. And I've seen people, they come up with these personal rules and they find ways to push and push and push and push people away from them. And so again, think through this. I could talk a lot about this and don't have that kind of time this morning. I want you to be the kind of person that what you want to magnify in your brethren is good things. And you don't want to get in a situation where you're magnifying their faults and trying to find reason to why you don't want to have anything to do with them. Last point this morning, the grace of God. How you build your life and how you build your heart and what you focus on will be seen. You feed on poison, poison's going to come out. I sometimes joked about brethren. I said, sometimes I think brethren have been weaned on a pickle. You know, they're just sour. Ugh. They're mad, and they're constantly depressed. And they No. You shouldn't be that way. Hebrews 13:9, the Bible says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those which have been occupied with them. Here he's talking about some people who were wanting to try to come up with a bunch of rules, and they're focusing on this. And he said, now listen, you need to understand the foundation of who you are is because God has been gracious to you. Rejoice. Understand that nature. Understand your relationship with God. And then you deal with these other things. Some people get so far into these things, as has already been mentioned at the Lord's table, they forget they've been forgiven. They almost think that their purpose in life is, my purpose in life is I'm going to reform everybody. Now, I want everybody to follow the Lord. I want everybody to repent. I want everybody to quit sinning. But there's a role that God gives me in planting and watering, and it is not my personal agenda to make people anything. The Bible talks about in 2 Peter 1:2, common statement made by Paul and Peter in epistles, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Notice how you remember the grace of God. Here's how. 2 Peter 1:9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Listen to yourself. What do you talk about? What do you think about? What gives you joy? What gives you energy? Are you passionate about the Lord? I think I gave this illustration about a year ago. I haven't done it in a while. I'm going to give it again because I think it makes a point. Many times in life, when we are unhappy and we think the world is ending and we think we're the last one serving God and it's all over for the local church, it's all over for things, we are the problem. There were some kids once that wanted to play a joke on their grandfather. He was kind of a cranky old fella anyway. He had fallen asleep on the couch in a room, and they took some of this kind of Limburger cheese or something like that really stinks, and they put it on his mustache while he's sleeping. And he woke up. This room stinks. He went into the living room. This room stinks. He went to another room. This room stinks. Finally, after going through several rooms, the whole house stinks. And then he went outside. The world stinks. He was the stinker. Sometimes, if we'll listen, there's a spiritual problem, and it's me. And if that's the case, turn your life around. Do like Hebrews 13:16 says, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Get involved with others. Realize the power in doing good. The book of Philemon, Paul's talking about the man who had the runaway slave that became a Christian, and now he was sending the slave back to his master, and hopefully that the master would do what he ought to do as a Christian. In Philemon, verse 4, says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, and that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have had great joy and consolation in your love, because the heart of the saints has been refreshed by you, brother. It is a blessing to give. I hope that as we do good, we'll understand that people may become Christians because of that. I want to tell you something. People likely are not going to ask you if you're like the grandfather, I'm a Christian, and there's all kinds of problems in the church, and there's all kinds of problems everywhere, and people aren't doing right, but I want to tell you how to find the grace and love of God. You know, do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, there are problems in the church. Y'all heard us, and there are problems out here, and there's sin. But, you know, there needs to be an underlying praise in our life. And it'll help people. And we'll be involved with people. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. I'll stop here. Oh, no, let's go ahead. Let's finish the points. We need to learn to do this without compulsion. Somebody may say, well, okay, the preacher said I've got to have people over or I need to do something with people. And so you can hold your nose and grit your teeth and get your inoculation. I'm going to do something with you. You know, that we're not talking about making you do something. We're talking about a change of your heart. The Bible says, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed may not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. If you change your heart, you live in a different place. And when you live in a different place and you begin to get involved, you're not going to live in a constantly shrinking world, but a world that is reaching out. That's one thing I love about a new convert. You convert, buddy, they know what they've been saved from. They know the grace of God. And sometimes they move a little too fast into optimism, thinking everybody's going to immediately obey the gospel, but I love that enthusiasm. Let us look back on our lives, every one of us, including myself. We need to be challenged by looking at what the Lord is doing in our lives. Let us not withdraw. Let us be the kind of people to reach out. I hope you're the kind of person when you see somebody hurting and somebody else may not see it, you're the person trying to reach out there and say, come on, I can help you. You're not alone. These are the times, these holidays, folks, we're going to have a little more extra opportunity in those areas. Look out. Reach out. You'll be the blessed in the end. We want to extend the invitation this morning to become a Christian. An invitation by the love of God to reform your life, to change your life, to have a new life, to have a new birth. Turn your back on your sin. To turn to God for forgiveness. Through the blood of Christ, He's willing to forgive you of all sins. Would you, as a penitent believer, can we baptize you into Christ this morning? And Christian, as always, as we look into His Word, we need to repent. And let us determine to go down a different path. God will bless us. He will enrich us. But we got to deny ourselves daily and take up our cross. Can we assist you in anything, any way, doing God's will? Would you come as we stand and sing?